Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call to get in on the conversation with us. That is 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay Noon,
and Joa.
And we have a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, as usual. There's a lot in the news, and I titled this show... I tried to make it, like, shorter than the typical saying that I'm talking about here, but I titled the show, FBI Agent Gets Taste of FBI Medicine. I had to shorten it a little bit. I was going to put a taste of his own medicine, but he got carjacked. An FBI agent got...
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Carjacked on Capitol Hill, it says.
Well, I mean, this is how karma's going to work, right? I mean, we're all going to be subject to it someday.
Yep.
Whatever you present to the ether will return to you at some point in time.
I really believe that. Do you believe in karma?
Yeah, yep, I do. I think it's funny that it's happened to an FBI agent.
Right.
It's wicked karma. And, like, I think it happened to a congresswoman as well.
It did say it's a string. It's one in a number of incidents of jacking happening in Washington, D.C. this year. So I didn't know if they meant, like, that happened to politicians more often, or just, like, in general?
Well, it's just because of the policies of the double standard, as we are going to prosecute to the fullest extent of the law possible, and we're going to lie about it, and we're going to do everything we can to prosecute, you know, right, you know, conservative types or libertarian types or people who are against the pedophile elite. We're going to prosecute them. You're going to prosecute the January 6ers. I mean, there's people who went to the Capitol building an hour after the event there, and they just walked up the steps and, like, looked around, took a couple pictures and left, and they are in jail still.
Yeah.
And they are convicted. And then you
have,
we want to talk about the Capitol building. You know, it was May 29th, I believe, 2020, a bunch of left-wing Antifa guys, you know, burnt a guard shack, and they, you know, and there was a bomb found.
In the same building?
Well, this was at the Capitol building. There was a guard shack or a White House or something. I think it was the Capitol building. I don't remember all the details, but no investigation. You know, the most heavily surveilled, you know, area, you know, possibly in the world. And there's no investigation. Nobody's, you know, looking into it. And this is just, you know, classic. I mean, like, Joa, you and I were in court for one of my wife's hearings last summer. And you caught on live stream somebody, like, had a DUI, and they, like, went off, like, the road, and they, like,
destroyed someone's property. Oh, yeah, and the bailiff's son was, a retired bailiff. And his son was the one.
And let's be very clear. A bailiff is a member of the parasite class. And also, if he's retired, he's collecting from the judicial pension fund, which I really want to talk about.
His kid stole a cell phone and brought it to one of those cell phone exchange things. You know, you just put it in the machine, it tells you how much it's worth. And he sold it. And he got cash, and he got caught. He got caught stealing it, and it was a retired bailiff's son, and he had to plead guilty, and they basically gave him a slap on the wrist. Anybody else would get way more punishment than that.
And you got that.
And they front-lined him. They put him right first.
They gave him special treatment because he's of a protected class.
That's
because
right.
He's a member of the parasite class. This was at a court hearing. It was a bailiff's son. I thought it had something to do with the DUI, but I was wrong. But
no, he stole a cell phone.
So even worse, his actual victim.
How did you find that?
We were there for Jay's.
Oh, for the guy. Yes, the guy that went before you guys.
Yeah.
He was crazy.
Yeah, and like,
he
was
and
like
hung out.
Talking trash to us. And
yeah,
like,
he was like talking trash about Ian, not knowing it was Ian. He was like saying those freaking people, blah blah blah. There's like pedophile or whatever.
Well, yeah. So this is how deranged everything's going. So now what's happening is, you know, crime. You know, the bottom line is crime in these cities with these, you know, hardcore liberal libtard is like how I like to refer to it, policies, because liberal actually means freedom. You know, the people who are considered liberals are actually not liberals, they're commies. But they are, so what's happening because the crime's so rampant, because like Joe had just pointed out here, if you steal a cell phone, you're just going to be let off scot-free. There's not going to be anything to do. You probably plead guilty.
If your uncle works for the government or whatever it was.
It was his father.
Oh, his father.
Yeah. And you don't even have to have that political connection, because if they don't care what you do to anybody, but if it's a crime that is against the state, which there's no such thing as a crime against the state, because the state cannot be injured. The state doesn't have any rights that can be violated. But if it's anything like that, it's going to be maximum penalty. But if it's like shoplifting, if it's like, you know, these snatch and grabs, if it's like carjackings, like the police aren't even, you know, responding to those kinds of things.
Oh, they'll never even investigate. These cases will just fizzle away in their system.
Right.
They'll never ever check.
Go and check the rape kits, apparently, in a lot of these police stations.
Right.
They just said they're unchecked or whatever.
I've heard that people get their car stolen. Like, the return rate on a car stolen is very, very low, especially the police doing it.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right, because they're not. There's no incentive for them to do that.
Yeah, I have this long story we could get into if you guys are interested.
But I'd like to bring up one more thing. Another example of this, San Francisco, which is turned into a third world asshole. It's basically the streets are literally a cesspool. So.
Yeah, they're pooping in the streets, apparently.
So, right.
Well, I hear that all the time. I don't know if it's just a meme.
I mean, people leave their doors unlocked and the tailgate open because people were breaking in, smashing their windows. Even
so they leave it open to show nothing's in there?
Yeah, just so they don't break their windows.
Yep. So, so anyways, for example, all this crime's happening in at San Francisco, right? And stores are closing down. Whole Foods closed down. You know, this big popular mall closes down. You got, like, there's an app that you can get for where's all the poop? And basically the streets are just covered.
Are pooping in the streets.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I thought that was like possibly just a meme, but
no.
Why would it become a meme?
It's really happening.
Why?
And why? Because
homeless people.
Because of the welfare system, it's attractive. So San Francisco, if you're going to be a useless crackhead, a junkie, a heroin addict, go to San Francisco. Go to Venice Beach. So you get fed. You get $600 a month just because you're there, and then you get all this other kind of money. There's actually an interview with somebody's, you know, scumbags that are just, you know, low-level parasites that are, you know, they're doing the drugs, working the system, and they earn their dope. They just get a free dopamine hit from Health and Human Services, so they just poop right on the street.
Ew.
And so. Well. So anyways, while all this is going on, there's constant breaking and enterings, there's constant, smashing grabs.
And just, like stealing from stores.
Right, yeah, so
very
the smashing
casually
grab is,
because
yeah.
they can't stop.
Yeah, and they're just stealing, and, and you get prosecuted in, like, New York City, D.C., San Francisco, L.A., if you try to defend yourself because you must retreat. If you fight back, against someone who's like, you know, of multiple offense, attacker or mugger, in these cities, you get charged. Like the guy in the subway who, you know, subdued the violent homeless man, you know, he's getting charged. So Elon Musk, when he gets the building, you know, gets Twitter, he has a sign put up. A new sign put up on his building.
It's in San Francisco.
In San Francisco, and the
X.
They put an X sign instead of Twitter or something. And the code enforcement came after him and wrote him all kinds of.
It was pretty big and obnoxious, I gotta say.
Because he put this sign up
that just had X.
Yeah, and And it, like, right there is just an example. But if it was Google that did that, they wouldn't care.
Probably not. Yeah.
You know, or if it was Facebook. Because,
and the same thing happens even on smaller levels, like in Keene, New Hampshire.
Yeah, absolutely.
There are all kinds of signs out that, you know, say something like, oh, come to this college building because we're doing an arts and craft day or whatever. And I've never heard of anybody getting those taken down by code enforcement, but the Mighty Moose Mart, who is run by libertarians, had this sign that's just like, it stays in one place, but it's like a flag, and it's like a long skinny flag, and it said open, and they made them get rid of it because it's technically, they say it was technically a sign that was in motion because of the wind blowing a little flag.
I know it's sign like laws are so ridiculous.
Yeah, the signs, any sign can blow in the wind and move, but
they're
they don't
picking
all
and
get,
choosing
yeah.
who can have these freedoms.
Yep.
Right. You know? And it's like a perfect example is a case against my wife. Like, for example, they are, you know, literally have, a friend of mine says that they have probably burned about $25,000 worth of tax resources so far trying to prosecute my wife.
Wow.
You know, so you got all these parasite prosecutors that work for this, you know, the prosecutor's office, and you get that entire office, you know, you send them the paperwork, they got to read the paperwork, they answer it, you know, these guys, you know, they're getting paid, you know, pretty decent salaries, and the salary is actually the cheap part. The benefits that these guys get and the pension funds that they're getting funded, you know, and their health care and their annuities, and you start just and then the infrastructure, and they all get state cell phones. You know, some of these guys are driving, you know, state, you know, cars that are owned by the state, so the state's paying for the fuel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for, like, you know, the police and whatnot, and, you know, investigators and all this stuff, and then the, you know, what a judge costs to have on a bench, and then you got to have all the security guards, and you got to have, and also to make sure to enforce all this action, you have to have a standing army of sheriffs and state police and all these cops and, you know, bailiffs and all this stuff. So these courtroom, and if you look at a courtroom, I mean, it is the most expensive building you could possibly build.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
it was so fancy.
Right. Government buildings are the most expensive buildings you could build. They're built with all this fine polished granite and marble. I don't know if anybody's ever worked on granite before or polished granite. I did a little bit as a teenager. And, you know, it takes, you know, hundreds of hours. There's probably that courtroom in
Concord.
In Concord,
federal one. Have you ever been there? Because that's like all of polished granite.
Oh yeah, well, and stainless steel everywhere.
Stainless steel, and then isn't that granite? It's not marble, right? The stone in there. It's like the entire thing is made of granite,
right?
And
so,
it's polished.
So it'll cost you like $15,000-$20,000 to get like a granite countertop in your kitchen, right? And you're buying it from a private contractor.
Imagine
that's
a four-story building that is huge.
So a huge four-story building.
With a statue.
So if it costs you $10,000 to get granite countertops in your kitchen, and the government buys the same exact granite countertops from its special approved, you know, granite distributor, it's going to cost $150,000, yeah, or $300,000, because that's the way the government works. And then you got to maintain a prison to have all this stuff and the staff. So the amount of money that is costing the taxpayers, for example, just to prosecute my wife over a frivolous, you know, BS charge, you know, is absolutely ridiculous. And if anybody's upset about that, they should definitely send a letter to the Merrimack County elected DA. I forget his name, but you can look it up and let them know about it. You know, especially with, you know, when it comes to, you know, this malicious prosecution that they're doing a lot. And so I've been working on an affidavit lately, you know, to expose this malicious prosecution. I'm going to ask for the Judicial Review Committee here in New Hampshire to investigate the Merrimack County Prosecutor, investigate Superior Court, investigate Circuit Court, investigate Concord Judicial, the Concord Prosecutor's Office, and the Concord Police Department. And I started going through this list of all these people. And so you got, you know, the Newfield 8, you know, all these people who have been wrongly prosecuted by the state of New Hampshire, its actors, employees, officers, and agents. And, you know, all these cities, towns, municipalities.
I mean, look, they lied about my case already. Like, so I filed a complaint against Don Bulldog for assault, and they saw it.
They haven't gotten back to you, have they?
No, the chief said he didn't see anything.
So, no, yeah, they did lie about that. Sorry for breaking that. You can finish that idea or sentence, but I'm asking if they ever got back to you for your next court date.
No, not yet.
That's crazy.
Yep.
So anyways, yeah, what they'll do is they'll send you a letter to an address that you're probably not going to get it at, and then they're going to put a default warrant out for you for not showing up.
Because that's generally how they work.
I was there. He told the lady on the phone, like, he doesn't have an address.
Yep.
And she was like, well, you're just going to have to keep calling back. So if they do that, that would be crazy.
Yeah, like, and you know, they have a duty to serve you. You don't have a duty to serve them. Because they are supposed to be public servants. But the problem is you know, they're not certainly not acting like it. So anyways, getting back to what I was saying, with this double standard and everything, and malicious prosecution. Joa, like with your case where they've lied, you need to put it in an affidavit. And you need to send it to whatever legislative committee this is, and whoever your favorite state representative is, and you need to command them to do something about it in this affidavit.
Well, yeah, the chief of police lied and the DOJ lied about Don Bolduc, how I said he elbowed me, and they said, no, he didn't. You know, we didn't see anything.
And there's video of this, right?
Oh, my God!
Is that a yes?
Yes!
Okay, so there's video of this. So, basically, by you stating in an affidavit your facts, and then you give these guys 7 days to rebut the affidavit or it stands as truth, and the parasite class does not rebut affidavits. We've never seen an affidavit rebutted in any of these affidavit processes that we've been working on. And so then your affidavit stands as the truth. And then you go forward with the legislature, because we know the judiciary is corrupt. We know the executive branch is corrupt. We know the legislature on a federal level is corrupt. We know the legislature in just about every single state is corrupt, mostly because of the fact that they all have pension funds. But here in New Hampshire, we have essentially a volunteer citizen legislature.
Yep.
We got 400 state representatives. We have a population of 1.3 million people. And the state legislatures get a stipend of $100 a year, so they're not getting a pension.
They're
fund.
Not incentivized to be a legislator, right, other than to do good.
Right. Well, I mean, you do have bad people.
Supposedly.
well, you do have, we have, you know, some radical, you know, left-wing, you know, nut jobs, you know, in there that, you know, are cool with, like, mutilating children and, you know,
stealing
all
freedoms,
that stuff and
whatever.
Stealing freedoms and then, you know, want to try to, like, you know, take our rights away.
Yeah, Muse and some other ones that are really bad Democrats are working on this thing where it'll be harder to get a gun because, I guess right now, New Hampshire doesn't do, like, a certain optional, I think, part of background checks for people getting guns.
Yep.
And Muse and all of them, all those Democrats, and also Roy, who's a Republican, are working on making it to where New Hampshire complies with that background check. And then
and I'm sure there's federal incentive money for that.
Well, the feds are the ones that make it's like, I guess it's not optional to the feds, but New Hampshire just isn't doing it right now.
The question at large is the have you ever been admitted for psychological treatment or something like that?
And that's another thing. They want to make it where crazy people now. Well,
but that's a violation of your Fifth Amendment rights and, you know, Fourth Amendment rights. This is like, HIPAA laws would say.
Roy said it's okay because if they prove that they're better now, then they can get their rights back.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, hey.
That's such a lie.
You have a right to bear arms. The New Hampshire Constitution is pretty good on your right to bear arms. But luckily, we have a citizen legislature here that is getting better and better and better because of things like the Free State Project. But going back to what I was saying before I digressed, is I was going through this list of, you know, because I'm putting together essentially an affidavit that is explaining, and part of the affidavit explains abuse of power basically done by the state of New Hampshire, its agents, employees, and officers, with respect to people who are affiliated with the Free State Project, Health Freedom New Hampshire, you know, We Are the People in New Hampshire, you know, all these, like, anti-mandate, you know, vaccine.
Like all
vaccine
the stuff
education.
Your wife had bumper stickers on the back of her car.
Yes.
On the day in question.
and so I go through this list, and I'm like, you know, so we got the Newfield 8, you know, the people that were ticketed, and Frank Footloose was, Staples.
For holding signs?
For basically, you know, peacefully protesting in front of the neighbors, you know, in front of,
the governor's house.
You know, the governor's house, because the governor's just a puppet for, you know, the Social Security Administration Title IV-D money, for example, Title IV A, B, C, D, and E money, which is this incentive fund where money comes out of the Social Security Administration. account and goes directly into the judicial pension fund, goes into all kinds of other coffers, goes into DCYF, goes into family court, goes into local municipalities.
Revenue protection scheme.
Well, it's sort, yeah, maybe that you could sort of word it like that.
Pensions.
And so, anyways, and then you have so there's the Newfields 8. So, like my friend Bill Domenico, I talked with him tonight a little bit on the phone, and we were talking about his case. And I'm like, hey man, can I get an affidavit from you saying how you've been, targeted for being, basically affiliated with the Free State Project? So I'm reaching out to a whole bunch of people as I'm building this case, against the state, because they have been engaged in malicious prosecution again and again and again and again and again. And then not in one of these cases will they be able to provide an affidavit where somebody swore under oath that they've had a right violated, that they've been injured, that property's been damaged,
right,
that copyright was violated or a contract was violated, or any of these things. And then you have the Newfields 9, which were the people who were protesting the governor's council back when Sununu was trying to get,
Actually, a lot of them didn't do anything.
Right. No, actually, none of them did anything at all. Like Teresa Ganell,
they just started arresting people.
Right. Yeah. She said, "Amen."
I mean, like there was one lady that they arrested, an old lady that got herself dropped because they didn't even mean to arrest her.
And like they charged someone that wasn't even there.
So
I didn't know that part, or at least I forgot if I heard about that.
Sure. Well, even just like with January 6th, they're charging people who weren't even there.
Yeah.
Like Owen Schroeder, he's like an InfoWars, reporter columnist. He just did like 60 days in a can over, his participation in January 6th as a radio commentator. He was not even anywhere near there. And So then you got the Newfields 9, Rochelle Kelly, Tyler Workman,
oh, yeah.
Pamela,
Play Free or Die.
Play Free or Die.
They were at the, they were all found not guilty, they're actually all working on filing lawsuits against the state.
Because, what was really sad about that day, whenever I saw them, celebrating after that, Rochelle won in court, it was like, oh, she only had to go through a year and a half of mental anguish.
Yeah. It's super stressful.
Mm-hmm. She was crying, hugging her husband and crying, happy tears and stuff, but
yeah, and it's super stressful because, the crime, she probably, if she got convicted, probably wouldn't have got any time, right? Mm-hmm. She probably would have, had to pay a fine, maybe, or they would have, said, oh, you don't have to pay a fine, and, you're not going to jail, but now you have this criminal record, and then, and then the next time, the Concord police decide to pick on her because she's another one.
And they did.
They did, though.
They kept pulling her over and
stuff. Yeah. Well, so Ware PD really screwed with her. So she was from Ware, New Hampshire. And Ware Police has a horrible reputation.
I've heard that, yeah.
So the Ware Police has been sued multiple times over all kinds of stuff. So Carla Garrick won a lawsuit against them.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because they charged her with wiretapping.
Mm-hmm.
William Kostrick won a lawsuit against them and charged with wiretapping. There was some guy who had the wrong species of salad in his pocket. And this cop, Sergeant Kelly, goes to do a drug deal with him. That has cost the town of Ware multiple millions of dollars now. People of Ware are so upset about this, but we'll continue this on the other side.
More coming up about the karmic consequences of being a terrible government person. It's 603-283-6160 is the number to call. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
USA News Update. Former President Trump attended his New York fraud trial today. On the way into the courthouse, he again said he's done nothing wrong.
There were no victims. The bank loves us. The bank testified. They love us. We did absolutely nothing wrong. We never even defaulted.
Trump set to testify on Monday as the last witness in the defense case. House Republicans are introducing the text of their resolution to authorize the impeachment inquiry against President Biden. The resolution aims to formalize the ongoing investigation led by three Republican-led committees. A vote on the matter is anticipated next week. Less than a week before the 2024 caucus, CNN is organizing a debate for Republican presidential candidates in Iowa. The event is scheduled to take place at Drake University on January 10th, just 5 days before the first in the nation caucuses. John Schaefer, USA News.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pauty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call if you want to get in on the conversation with us. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Joa.
And I wanted to tell you that this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized, autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash masternodes. The masternodes vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and are funded by the treasury. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first, nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol. In multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. And thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash. Dash.org. And the before we get it back into the conversations we were having, I did forget that we had a caller on the line, so... Oh, man, he dropped off. Sorry, Major. Major, I didn't mean to leave you hanging, so if you wanted to get in on the conversation, please call back. But for now, I'm going to go to Rob from Vermont. Rob, what's on your mind?
Hey, so New Hampshire has one... Well, there's a new transparency update when it involves the police. The New Hampshire Supreme Court ruled 4-1 in a decision to, you know, for police files to be, you know, requested by the public. That's awesome.
You can now do a 91A request on police disciplinary files. Like, that should have always been the case, but as of, I think, November 29th, that got ruled on in the Supreme Court.
I really didn't want that to happen.
And I keep forgetting I'm going to do this, but I'm going to go and I'm going to request, like, all of them from a certain date.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go request them from Concord PD. And in fact, I think what I'm going to do, my public records request is all the people that I have on my list that have been wrongfully, you know, prosecuted and charged by Concord PD. So the police officers involve all of them. That's a really great idea. Thanks for reminding me of that, Rob.
Thank you, Rob.
Rob did actually send me a link about that last week or something, or a few days ago.
Me too. That's where I heard about it, and I posted it on Twitter, and then I kind of just forgot because I wanted to bring it up on the air. So thank you, Rob. Anything else?
Yep. Well, no, I was just going to say that, you know, if you've ever, you know, had any problems with the police or know of a bad police officer in New Hampshire, you know, do a FOIA request on them.
Yeah,
you know,
and go public about it, too. Yeah.
To share it with the public. You know, these people need to be called out.
Absolutely. That's great advice, Rob. And it's not a FOIA request in New Hampshire. It's called a 91A. And in fact, you don't even need to use RSA 91A. All you got to do is state the constitutional article for the Constitution for New Hampshire State has an article that says right to know. So we don't even need to write 91 91A. You just say under the Constitution for the right New Hampshire State. Article whatever, right to know, you know, I demand to know if there's been any disciplinary action, if there's been any complaints, have any affidavits been signed, has, been brought against, officer so-and-so, and conclude the badge number. And then, just be, nice and clear about it.
Well, thank you so much, Rob, for the call. That's definitely important, and I did want to bring it up on the air, so I'm glad that he called in about that. I told Ian about it, like, right away. And he was like, wow, somebody should go to Keene and request all of them from a certain date.
I would do all current officers and, I don't know, maybe the last, 10 officers. Because, they leave the department and go somewhere else.
Yeah.
So you might want to get a few that have left.
I was going to say, they'll probably be able to give me some that have left. It'll probably take a long time. Ian went and requested maybe, October of 2020 about every arrest that had been made concerning weed since it got decriminalized, and he didn't get it until February of 2021.
Wow.
Yep.
They knew it was him, and they just put it on the back burner, I guarantee you.
Probably. Well, I'm totally going to go do that. 603-283-6160. I'm sorry about that, Major Payne, if you didn't hear me. You can call back. I saw he was on the phone, and then I covered up the screen with my other window, and I forgot that he was on the phone, so sorry about that.
I tell you what, the disciplinary action, it just says that the chief or whatever, their superior, took good action, but the reality is, if a town doesn't have any, it makes you wonder they could be really good cops, but... Or say the superior, the chief, or whatever, is actually corrupt too, So that's why they're not allowing the complaints to go through, or they're not disciplined and stuff like that. So
do you think that it's possible that there will be none in the town?
If that's happening, then probably the superior, the chief, or whatever is
not running
on
up.
They're not as aggressive. They actually could be good.
That'd be surprising if there was any that had zero. But moving on. We opened up the show tonight talking about this FBI agent who got carjacked near Capitol Hill. It's just kind of like a funny story, in my opinion, but there's a lot to unpack here. It says, an off-duty FBI agent was carjacked on Wednesday afternoon near Capitol Hill, authorities said, adding to the sharp increase of similar incidents in D.C. this year. At about 3:45 p.m., two armed people took the vehicle belonging to the agency, said Washington, D.C. police and the FBI's Washington field office. The agent was not harmed in the incident. The vehicle was recovered by police just after 4 p.m. on Wednesday near the Lincoln Park area of D.C. So, in 25 minutes, it was found.
Huh.
But
they really can't go far, so I don't know why people even try to steal cars now.
It's crazy that they would even be armed and go and try to steal an FBI
vehicle. I can tell you exactly why that culture of people, those young kids, like teenagers stealing cars. I just saw...
Maybe they didn't know it was FBI because...
They don't. But the thing is because it's becoming so prolific, and, you know, D.C. is covered in these FBI parasite kind of guys anyways. You know, Actually, I believe there was a mayor or a city councilor that was carjacked in somewhere in San Francisco, you know, which is... You know, just poetic justice as far as I'm concerned. But the reason that these kids are stealing cars, and you guys familiar with like what a Hellcat is?
Yeah.
What is it?
So a Hellcat is a Dodge Charger car, like the police cars. So they come out of the factory with like these 6.4 liter Hemis. They're like 750 horse with a blower or a supercharger out of the factory. You can take these cars, you can chip them, just put a chip in it. Don't change anything else. And they're like almost 900 horsepower. You can put $4,000 or $5,000 into these cars and some elbow grease, and they're 1,400 horsepower. They weigh like 4,200 pounds.
They're super fast.
Is that a lot? Is 42 a lot for a car?
It's light. If you're like 1,500 horsepower and 4,200 pounds, you are insanely fast. So these cars are doing 150 miles an hour.
And they give these cops like that.
No.
Oh, okay.
Not cars. No.
Actually, like the Hellcat is known to outrun cops.
Oh, yeah. Cops, yeah.
And helicopters.
So actually, if you want to buy one of these cars right now, they're super cheap because the repossession auctions are full of them. Like actually right now, like a 2003 Toyota Camry or a 2007 Toyota Camry at auction is worth more money than like a 2012 Hellcat that's like 1,000 horsepower. But anyways, these cars are like, just, you can jack them up. They're the modern day muscle car. They handle really good. I mean, they don't handle like a Corvette or like a Ferrari. You know, you're not doing 250 miles an hour with them, but they do 150, and these guys outrun the cops. I just saw a clip of a kid was like 13 years old somewhere in California, jacked one of these Hellcat cars, and he's doing 150 miles an hour down the freeway, and this kid is like
it's nothing, dude.
And he's doing it like, I was so impressed at his driving. I was like, wow.
And he was 13?
That's what they were saying.
Whoa. I mean, these things are easy to drive.
Well, they're
easy
made to drive.
You know?
They're easy to drive. They have stabilization control. They actually, like, the steering really tightens up when you go fast so they don't oversteer quite as easy. And these kids are stealing them anyways. And they're, the kid's, like, really, like, you know, super lucky, super, super ballsy, and not that wise. You know, he's a young man. So, anyways, they're robbing these cars. Why is that culture of people robbing these cars? Because the way that the laws are being enforced aren't against people committing actual crimes. The only statutory rules that are being enforced are crimes against the state.
Paperwork crimes.
Crimes against the state.
Yep.
Where the state of New Hampshire, which is a bankrupt municipal corporation that is pretending to be New Hampshire state. You know, if you read the very first thing in the Constitution, it says Bill of Rights, Constitution for New Hampshire state.
Mm-hmm.
So,
so you're saying those are two different things?
Yes. So the state of New Hampshire is a corporation.
Cops want to pull people over in certain ways because it gives them a notch on their belt and they get promoted.
Oh, yes,
so
yes. But
they want to do those things, but not because they care about the community. They care about their pension. They care about getting promoted.
But here's what happened. When you grow up in a culture where you idolize people who commit crime because you're a little boy,
And you play GTA or whatever.
Yeah, that too, right?
I'm serious. I know some people think that.
And let's be clear here. GTA, I had to think about that, but that's Grand Theft Auto.
Yep.
So Grand Theft Auto is a game where you can, go rape a girl.
Yeah.
You can go to a hooker and, exchange dollars with her.
Or not,
you,
don't pay her, you, and that's
you can,
rape.
You can shoot the hooker when you're done. You know, you can run her over with the car that you just stole. You can kill the cop. You can do all this stuff. So when you have single moms that are on welfare, that are, got multiple baby daddies, because that's what happened, that's what the culture's turning into in these inner cities. And then, so these kids are, being pacified with internet devices, and they're gaming, and the state is providing the internet device. The state of California, for example, provides computers for kids. So these kids use these computers, and they can, basically for not a lot of money, they can modify these computers into these like driving simulator things. And actually, that was one thing a kid had told me, is that that he had first drove a car at like 16 years old. This was like 6 or 7 years ago, and he was like, "Oh, the driving," when he went to driver's ed, the guy was like, "Wow, you did this so well." He goes, "Well, I've been playing Grand Theft Auto with a driving simulator, for like 10 years. So like the kid understood about how to drive, right? Mm-hmm. So like the kid learned how to drive essentially from the computer. So these kids, so just like you said, and they idolize this culture of
rap
going
music.
To jail,
yeah.
Rap music, graping hoes, doing drugs.
Now, Grand Theft Auto has these mods where you can either pretend to be a cop and, pull people over, because you actually get them on infractions.
Oh,
and then,
that'll get the authoritarian dopamine hit going.
Yeah, no, it does. It does. Yeah, exactly. A lot of the kids that do play that role are, cops' kids, too. And then the other side of things, going to do your drug deal or going to play for pink slips, and race your cars, if you get caught doing those things and the cops catch you, there's consequences in the game as well.
Right, right.
It's really wild how they set it all up. But
they're really
teaching
people how to do crime.
So, what they're doing,
modification to the game, and you can do drug deals, and you make profits. That's how you earn money. But, there's actual other people playing the cops, watching you, and they'll do patrols and stuff like that.
You versus the cops.
Yeah, real scenarios.
So what you're doing is you're fanning the culture war. So now you're creating this authoritarian, dopamine hit. So what, like I talk about in my Investing in Our Posterity, lecture series, is whatever children get for a dopamine hit as their brains are developing, young brains are developing, and actually this is super, super true up until 6 years old. It's true. But even up for men up until 26 years old, whatever your brain's being programmed, because it's still developing. Women's brains, they say, stop developing about 21 years old. So with the when you bring that up, now you got this authoritarian class of kids that are being programmed to be this authoritarian. They want to be the cop. They want to be the white knight. They want to be the hero. And maybe a lot of them don't even want to be authoritarian, but they start getting a dopamine hit through the video game. So what they're doing is they're further promoting next generational warfare through these things like Grand Theft Auto. So getting back to what I was saying about the inner city kids who are stealing the cars, jacking these cars on this FBI agent. And of course an FBI agent is going to get jacked in D.C. because there's FBI agents everywhere.
Yeah, they probably weren't.
And cars are getting jacked left and right in D.C.
It probably wasn't, they weren't targeting the FBI agent. In fact, he probably, drives an undercover car.
Of course, right. Yeah, I doubt they're doing
that. FBI.
One last thing about GTA. They're coming out with GTA 6, mm-hmm. and that's not coming out for another 2 years or something like that.
Oh, wow. Why do I keep hearing that?
I don't know. Maybe next year. I don't even know. But it's supposedly woke. It's going to be woke.
I heard that. You can play as a girl now. I was shocked that you
couldn't. Well, that's how the story begins. But people are saying it's potentially a trans woman virtual character. How all this works, I have no idea.
So anyways, a little story here. I'm pretty close to a guy who's my age. His father went to jail when he was 8 years old. His father got out of jail when he was 12. His parents got divorced a couple years after dad got out of jail. And the dad was kind of like, the dad was like, you know, when the kid was like 13, the dad didn't even like smoke weed, but like he'd buy his kid weed. He'd let his kid smoke weed. He'd buy his kid cigarettes. So the dad would brag about stealing cars. So the dad grew up in Western Mass, where I grew up, and he had cousins that lived in New York City in the 70s. So in the 70s, and I think the guy was born in like 56 or 57.
This is your friend's dad?
Yes, this is my friend's dad. A guy I'd literally known since kindergarten, and he like stacked hay with us on the farm, and we did martial arts together, and you know, and he was actually a black belt in multiple martial arts, and in fact, I probably would have gotten a serious beating when I got jumped one day, except for he kind of came out of nowhere and started being Chuck Norris and stuff when we were teenagers. And you know, I only had one black eye and, you know, a couple of loose teeth and a bloody lip instead of, you know, a bunch of broken bones. Anyways, these dudes were just, we were like, you know, 14, and these guys were like 19 and 20, and they were just pounding the crap out of us. But anyways, they were pounding the crap out of me.
Oh, his dad showed up.
This guy showed up, who's the same age as me. He's like 3 weeks younger than me. Anyways, so I can remember his dad like bragging about when we were kids stealing cars
in New York City.
And like, so I was kind of a car guy growing up. I was really into trucks and like, you know, doing that stuff. And so he actually taught me how to open cars up, this guy. He taught me how to like use a Slim Jim and how to like, you know, basically breach cars
and like hotwire them or something.
Into them.
Yes, he taught me how to hotwire cars. Absolutely. He taught me a lot about auto mechanics. Actually, this guy like kind of like taught me how to weld a little bit. He was a super skilled guy. You know, he knew a lot of things, but he grew up with some bad influence in his life, and he never got in trouble. Actually, he didn't even go to jail for stealing cars. I don't even know what he went to jail for. Something stupid he did. It was actually a white collar crime he went to jail for, like
fraud.
It kind of proves what you've been saying. Like, they don't care about real crimes. They'll get you for some kind of paperwork infraction.
So like the. His kid
not paying taxes.
We're like 16 years old, and his kid is all of a sudden. We're like 16. I'm driving down the road somewhere, and I see this guy like run out in front of me, waving his arms, and I stop. And it's this guy. This is my friend, and he's like, I'm gonna jump in your truck, and he jumps in the back of my pickup truck. I was driving a pickup truck, and he's like all dressed in black, and he's got like a hoodie on, and it wasn't even, you know, it was like summer. And I'm like, what the heck? So he jumps in my truck, and like all of a sudden, you know, cops go like blowing by me. You know, like, you know, I'm kind of just like, you know, on the side of the road because I've seen this, and the cops go by me. So I just drive to my house, and I'm like, what's up, dude? He's like, cop's looking for you? He's like, yeah. I'm like, well, what are you doing? And in his backpack, he's got like 3 or 4 radios. He's got like a CB radio.
Said he stole out of cars?
He was stealing them out of cars.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, what are you going to do with these things? He's like, well, I'm going to sell them. I'm like, dude, they're not worth, like, he could have just made more money working at Walmart stacking shelves than what, like, he's stealing, like, these garbage radios.
Oh, wow.
And they're not even, yeah, they weren't, like, anything that was, like, valuable, and
how old was he?
He was, I was 17, so he must have been 17.
Mm-hmm.
And, and we were both still in high school. Like, we were going to high school together, and he's, like, doing this stuff. And I'm like,
well, factory radios are actually still worth money.
I mean, you could go buy this radio for like $42, right, at Walmart.
That's $42. Like, it took him like 10 minutes.
Yeah, but
you are not going to get $20. You're not going to get, you could maybe get like 5%.
Why would somebody buy it from $40 from the 17-year-old instead of buying it for $40 from the store?
So you could go buy a radio for $1,000, and if you steal that one, you could probably sell it for a couple hundred. I don't know. But and the stuff he stole. Wasn't like stealing change out of the cars. He wasn't like
Cadillac converters.
Yeah.
So back then, like in the 90s, Cadillac converters weren't worth like $800 like they are today.
Right.
Like a Cadillac converter on your car out there would probably bring $800.
Hmm.
Actually, remember that Crown Vic that Ian used to drive?
Oh, well,
or nobody?
Yeah.
But those Cadillac converters are worth like $1,200 because they have, you know, the Crown Vics from the early 2000s. Because they got big motors and, you know, they got dual Cadillac converters because they're like kind of set up as cruisers and stuff and they're high performance. But anyways, because they got platinum in or palladium or something.
Platinum.
Yeah. Anyways, so like, I didn't realize this till I started studying about like brain development. So like, he would get so much enjoyment of seeing his father like gloat and glow, and this guy's father would glow, like he would have this like same like energy that I have Euphoria. Talking about my kids, like, you know, being 2 years old and, you know. And feeding the cows and like turning the water on and off to fill up the buckets, like stuff I'm proud of. And like this guy like emulated like pride and this like and just joy over talking about his accomplishments of stealing cars, and he was bragging. And he had kind of a conscience because he was helping these city kids steal cars because this guy grew up in a junkyard, but his like parents were the father grew up in a junkyard and his parents were divorced, so he would have to go like to the city for the summer all the time to hang out with his mom. But he basically lived on his dad's junkyard when he was growing up in upstate New York. So he understood how to like open up a car because he worked on cars. So he would help these city kids steal cars, and then he helps these guys stealing cars, and then like steal a car that's got like a baby seat in it, and they're like, dude, you got to go bring this car back. You know, this belongs to a mom. You can't do this. You know, he was one of those guys. He was like, you know, sort of had a conscience about him. But what was interesting, so this guy I'm talking about, my friend, really got in. He got so high off stealing cars. Like, I'm not stealing cars. Stealing stuff out of cars. He didn't actually steal cars. He actually never really drove a car. But he got in with, like, so what started happening is he started selling, like, he was stealing radios out of cars is what he was doing. And just, like, CB.
Probably make more money jacking the tires.
Because
it's easy to flip tires. It's not easy to flip radios.
But also, like, he lives in, like, Western Massachusetts, and he's 17 years old. Like, was he going to have any success selling something like tires? Like, wouldn't somebody be like, he'll give this back to old man Jenkins?
He probably couldn't take a tire off a car. He wasn't that competent. But he could remove a radio, and he wouldn't even do it right. So he ended up started stealing, like, two-way radios and, like, CB radios out of, like, this construction equipment and, like, this trucking company.
It's pretty smart.
And so he starts hooking up with these guys in Springfield, Mass. that are trading him drugs. That's the only way he can spend his stuff. So this dude got hooked on drugs. He like OD'd. He like had all kinds. And literally, like, he was like 21 years old, and he's been a ward of the state ever since. So he's like living in a mental institution. He's like living in halfway houses. Like, his life is just trash. But that was because he emulated his dad bragging about committing these crimes, and he didn't have a dad during formative years. His dad went to jail, so he just wanted to be like his dad.
And then he's getting his dopamine hits, stealing worthless radios, and then doing drugs. So it makes sense. 603-283-6160. More coming up. It's Free Talk Live.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, Get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.